Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. And welcome to another week of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. More carnage.
You could just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But what wasn't carnage was our Supercoach group winner, Paddo, and I don't even want to talk about him because I feel dirty.
Yeah, but we got it.
Yeah. It was actually the Supercoach Hub's consensus team. Who'd they have? What'd they score, Paddo? And why is going to be jizzing?
That is the Supercoach Hub for those playing at home, not that hub, you dirty bastards. but it was the Supercoach Hub consensus team. It scored 2-4-8-4, which is obviously a really nice score. Shockingly, though, and our good friend Scobie is part of the Supercoach Hub team, no Nick Dacos, which shocked me. Plenty of vanilla picks in here. A couple of interesting PODs in amongst it. Whitfield is kind of a POD. Jordan Clark is still in that POD category. So they both of those are in this team. Caleb Strong captain, which was a nice get there. Kieran Briggs in the ruck, Dano.
Oh, juicy.
Very interesting. The Brigginator. Charlie Curnow finally came good for those that own him, including the Supercoach Hub team.
Yep.
Tim English, bit of a left field one, had a nice score on the weekend. Will Day, Errol Goulden. So, yeah, kind of a vanilla team, but they got the chocolates this week.
And we'll go into the... We'll go into the top three leaders in our group at the moment, Paddo. So who are they?
So for our open group, our three leaders. So first is Joshua with his team, Rough Pies. Overall rank of 354. So that is a tremendous effort. On the prowl as well. So he's gone up 107 spots last weekend. Second is Eight, still hanging in there. With his team, the replacements, only 2-2-6-3 on the weekend. So Tato would be frustrated with that, kind of dropping off a bit, as my internet connection is apparently unable. And Third place is David's team, DO's Unicorns. So they are our top three. So obviously doing very well in our open league.
And as Paddo starts sorting out his internet connection, I'll go on with our other group. So in our SCCC 1 league, Paddo beat me. Fucking asshole. So now there's a three-way tie for first between myself, Jason, and Tom. Paddo is a game and a half behind in that league in seventh. And then in our SCCC 2 head-to-head league, Daniel is in first place and Nathan... they're both on 56 points. Josh in third on 52. I'm in sixth. And Paddo is in 11th. So, Paddo, how's your internet going?
Just switched onto my phone, which you would think should be worse than my home NBN. But, yeah, how good's Telstra? You pay extra money for Telstra and they're still fucking shit. Anyway.
Yeah, we are not endorsing Telstra right now. We do not get paid for this.
Fuck Telstra. There is a new button on the Supercoach website, Dano. Field screenshot.
What?
Yeah.
A quick squiz at this. Are you shitting me?
No, top right next to just under the Supercoach Plus button.
I do not have this. What the fuck are you on about?
Very interesting.
Team screenshot.
Field screenshot.
Field screenshot where?
So you can screenshot your team and you can screenshot your trades.
Wait.
That is very cool.
Oh, what the hell?
I don't know if it's in the app, but it's on the desktop.
I'm on the phone right now and it says, click to copy the screenshot below. You can then simply paste it into your favorite social media apps.
Yeah.
Do your trades. Oh my God.
How good is that? That'll save me cropping every time.
I'm going to quickly... click that and see if I can save it. Fuck yeah. I don't know what just happened. I think I just copied it.
The things you discovered.
No, I didn't save him to my photos. Okay, it's not good on the phone. But
that's what you want, though. The amount of fucking Supercoach screenshot I've got in my camera roll.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was hoping it would take the screenshot on anyway. But yeah, cool little feature. Needs to work out how to be used in Safari and shit like that. So anyway, injuries and suspensions, Paddo. So we got more carnage, more carnage. But a shining light, you could say, is Maxi Gawn is listed as a test.
Yeah, so that's the good news for this week. For those that held on to him, they say he's likely to play. Still got to go through the last minute fitness test, but with their ladder position and a pretty big game on the weekend against the Giants at the G, Dano, I can't see him not playing that game.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We got two concussions, so we got Jordan Dawson and Toby Ananckavis. Concussion 1 week each. That's fucking shit for those that traded in Nank the Tank. Yeah, as well as Jordan Dawson owners, actually. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride for them.
Especially if you've had him all year.
Yeah.
He dropped very low in price. Was actually looking all right on the weekend and then got concussed. So very unlucky, but Supercoach can be a cruel mistress sometimes.
And you know what's even crueler? When you got Max Gawn and you trade him out for Tom DeConing, and in the end, he's 5 to 7 weeks out. Now, this is weird because you've listed foot, but I've also heard it was like a punctured lung as well and all this shit.
Yeah, I went off the official AFL injury list, which says foot. So I did hear the punctured lung thing, but apparently it's a foot. But he did that really early. It looked like he was going to get subbed out like 5 minutes into the game when he did it. So I don't know how he came back on and went through it and has found out that he's got a foot issue.
Yep. And we're looking at the positive signs for this. So he'll be priced next year at 101 average, and hopefully they don't bring Pitnet in next year and he just solo rucks. So positive.
Well, Pitnet signed a 4-year extension last year. So Pitnet's still going to be on the list.
Fuck.
but DeConing will be an interesting discussion next year because he'll be a pretty nice price. People are going to get scared off by the injuries, but it could be one of those real high-risk, high-reward sort of plays for next year. But that will leave the next year discussion for a few more weeks still.
Yeah, yeah. Lukey Jackson. So something like he got put on ice with his knee. They said it was precautionary. We're a little bit like, seems sus. But anyway, what are your thoughts there, Paddo?
Yeah, not on the official injury report. So they say he's fine. Very frustrating. He's on 96 from 69% game time. So he was on track for a nice little 110, 120 odd score there as the backup ruck was really good in obviously a massive win for the Dockers. So hopefully he gets up. But I just want to say, have a contingency plan. They are only playing the Eagles, and I know that's a big game over there, the Derby or the Diaby or whatever they call it over there. Just have a backup plan. I know someone we're going to talk about soon is also out with a concussion.
Yeah, but that was the backup plan.
Have a backup for your backup plan.
I'm just going to bring him up really quickly.
Yeah.
Nathan Freddy Krueger, concussion 1 week.
Yeah. So
have a backup for your backup.
And that's so frustrating as well, especially if they both miss, because you got Luke Jackson playing full forward against West Coast, possibly without Jeremy McGovern, and then you've got Freddy Krueger against Richmond, and yeah. Collingwood would be pretty hungry to turn things around, and I think that'll be a pretty big win for the Pies. So yeah, very frustrating, but again, that's Supercoach sometimes.
And if Colton Tholstrup was your backup, he's also concussed.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to go to our backup for the backup's backup.
Yeah.
But so, no Jack Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, no one will have Tom Papley, surely. His ankle 4 to 6 weeks.
No, but I wanted to flag this because Papley's a very good forward. And who else is a very good forward? For Sydney, who hasn't been playing forward this year.
Yes. Mr. Heaney, now that he's out of the Brownlow medal contention, they might throw him up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in saying that, like, we know Heaney's a fine forward. He might just not have those big, big games. But the run home isn't actually too bad for a forward. So he's got the Dogs this week, then Port Adelaide, then the Pies, Essendon and Adelaide. So, look, it's not the worst run home, but he's certainly not going to average 120 like he has on the year playing forward. So I hope I'm wrong. Callum Mills will come back in this week. They've got Lukey Parker. They've got Taylor Adams, who tagged on the weekend. Yeah, so hopefully Heaney's not the Papley replacement, but we'll see.
Yeah. So Anyway, we'll go on to our own personal teams here, Paddo. We're going to take this podcast in a different direction because everyone's kind of fucked. But some of us also aren't fucked. So where's your team at the moment, Paddo? How many trades you got left? What's your cover on each line? That sort of thing.
So I actually had a pretty good week. I was ranked 5,000th for the round with a score of 2,457. That was with my first captaincy miss for the whole year. I captained Zach Butters against the Tigers. We'll get into the relevance of that later. But so I'm ranked 8,151. I made a lot of big mistakes this year, so I'm not happy with that rank, obviously. But I'm actually trending upward, which is nice. So I've actually met, like, I've got no trades left, but I've managed to set my team up in a pretty good spot where I've got cover on every line. So I've got Humphreys covering my defense, Lawson Humphreys. So it's actually a pretty nice backup to have if any of my defenders miss. I've got the five big dogs. I've got the four big dogs in defense that most people I've got three POD-ish players. So I've got Sheasel, Dacos, Luke Ryan. And I've got Jack Sinclair, Jordan Clark, and Jordan Ridley as three POD-ish sort of guys that I'm hoping, has been sort of part of what has made me come up the rankings the last few weeks. In my midfield, it looks so much better without Tuukka Miller in there, but I've got Bontempelli, Zach Butters, Zach Merritt, Connor Rosie, Tom Green, Caleb Sarong, Sam Walsh, and Jack Steele. And Jack Steele's actually been all right the last couple of weeks, so hopefully he rolls on with that form. Actually got three playing backups in my midfield, Dano, with Sean Manor, Billy Dowling, and Hugo Garcia, who managed to scrape a massive 12 on the weekend as the sub in about three quarters of footy. So,
yeah,
early sub onto the ground and did fuck all. So, yeah, nice one, Hugo Garcia. My rucks, as they have been all year, so I've actually not used any ruck trades. I did bring in Jordan Sweet for a little bit. It doesn't really count because I've had Livingston sort of come in and out and using Jackson as a swing, but I've had English and Grundy as my R1 and R2 all year. Gorn was really hurting me for a lot there, but his injury has actually helped me personally because obviously I'm not fielding Freddy Krueger in his place. So that's been nice to have Grundy's 70s instead of Krueger's 30s. But my forward line, this is not a good forward line, I don't know. I made a big mistake of doing my forward line before my back line, and it's cost me a lot of points. But Sam Flanders, who I didn't start with, regrettably, but fuck, he's been good. Hasn't dropped under 100 all year. Isaac Heaney, Dane Zorko, Luke Jackson, who's actually been fine. Like, a lot of people have been upset with his up-and-down scoring, but he's averaging 100 or 99.9, so the old Sir Donald Bradman average. And it's been great, but it's my F5 and F6, which is really costing my team. Shea Bolton and Cozzy Pickett. Pickett had a massive 47 on the weekend, which is not good to see. Almost the worst thing is as well, I don't have any of my mid-forward guys that are able to swing into my forward line to replace Pickett or even Loophole, because I've got Jack Hutchinson and Will Dawson on my forward bench. So, ouch. Very, very frustrating in a sense. I just want to flag, though, for people that may not know, if you have Supercoach Plus, there is an optimized button available to you up the top there. If you don't have any trades and you have guys injured and you have DPPs on your bench, even if you can't straight swap, so say, for example, you have who's that Essendon defensive mid that was injured, the mid-season recruit, so he's a 102K.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, and you've got Lawson Humphrey. So say you've got those two. That's not a good example. So say you've got Humphreys and Dawson. So they're two defenders on different lines, but you can't straight swap them because Humphreys isn't a forward. If you hit the optimize button once teams are announced, because I don't think Will Dawson will come in, you can get Dawson into your defense line if you need Humphreys as a playing midfielder. Like, it will do a smart swap and it will shuffle things around just as if you were setting a trade and swapping guys around. So just something to keep in your pocket. I know there are teams that will have a lot of injury carnage. There'll be teams with Gorn, possibly dealing with Jordan Dawson, deconing these sort of guys and out of trades. Just hit your optimize after trades have been, after teams have been announced, and it will shuffle things around for you. So just a little nugget of a information there. But Dano, how's your team looking, where you're ranked and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I've still got 3 trades left and I'm keeping them up my sleeve.
Can I buy one off you?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, I'll sell some. My current rank's 2,851. I just can't seem to crack the top 1K. It's been a little bit annoying. Last round didn't help. I had Butters as VC and then I was like, oh, that's a shit score. I'll put the C on Neil and he got even shitter. So I only got 2,408 last round, but apparently that put me up 300 places. So anyway, so my defense, like you, I have Sheasel, Dacos, and Ryan. The only thing is Ryan has not scored well for me since trading him in at 660,000, motherfucker. And then my PODs are Whitfield, Ridley, and Young. And then on the bench, I've actually got Logan Evans, and I've been predicting that he would crack 100 any time now, and he was, I think, what, they played Richmond. And I was like, fuck yeah, here we go. And then I realised my donut to loophole was Zach Reed, who played the very first game of the round. So I couldn't actually, like, do any loophole in defence. So I was like, fuck, and he got 110. So he's a little bit of good cover there. In the midfield, I've got Lachie Neal, Marcus Bontempelli, Zachy Butters, Connor Rosie, and then I got Rory Laird, who's been really fucking frustrating this year. Kept him all year. Tom Green, Caleb Strong, and Sam Walsh to round out my mids. On the bench, I've actually got at the moment Shea Bolton on my bench with the emergency on him with Billy Dowling, and then I actually traded in last round Geordie Payne from North Melbourne because I actually needed a donut to be able to loop. And so I maxed out him at the 102K range there. Rucks, I have not changed all year. So it's Max Gorn, Brody Grundy, Connor Livingston. They round out my rucks there. But if needed, I have DPP swings currently for the ruck line. Which leads me to my forward. So I got Sam Flanders, Isaac Heaney, Dane Zorko, and then I got Dylan Moore, who I only just recently traded in, Luke Jackson, who I only just recently traded in, and Charlie Curnow. And then on the bench, I got Sean Manor, who I've held all year, and he's now paying me back beautifully. And then old mate Freddie Krueger to round out the bench. My strategy at the moment is to keep those 3 trades in hand, let those guys like Billy Dowling, Sean Manor really plump up. Logan Evans I actually might keep all year, but it's more so Dowling and Manor, and I might use 2 trades to downgrade them for 1 super duper upgrade, or I might go double downgrade with those 2 and then 1 mega upgrade elsewhere. I don't know, I haven't decided yet. 3 trades is a real awkward amount, Paddo. If it was 4, it would have been way easier, but 3 is awkward because I don't want to have salary left over with 0 trades left.
Yeah, there's nothing worse. I'm sure we've all been caught in that boat where you see 100K, 80K or whatever, and you just think, fuck, that could be, you know, Cozzy Pickett to someone a lot better than Cozzy Pickett. So,
correct.
Yeah, very frustrating.
Yeah, so that's where my team's at the moment. So I feel like I'm in a really good place. My strategy early on in the year to not trade so early and leave things for 3 weeks. Those 2 trades up my sleeve have really come in handy now because otherwise I'd be on 1, if not none. I just feel like I'm in a good spot. I know a lot of people have run out of trades like yourself, Paddo. And then all of these injuries and whatnot are really hitting them hard. So, yeah, I feel like I might be able to crack that 1K mark.
Yeah, if you play your cards right and avoid more carnage, then, yeah, can see it happening.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go to trade-in options, and we'll go for a few PODs. We'll try and speed run this too, Paddo. So, to start off with, your man Jack Sinclair, 612K, 109 average, 9% owned, 129 break-even. You said Crouch on the verge of returning, but he actually isn't. If you've read the latest articles, Paddo, he actually could be forced into retirement.
So, oh, I missed that.
Yeah. So Brad Crouch might even, he's still got a year left to go, so he might have to actually retire and work something out with the Saints because his knee is basically just gone to shit.
Wrong crouch. It's the other crouch that's a test.
Oh, so did you look at Matt?
Yeah, Matt Crouch.
Ah, there you go. So anyway, Jack Sinclair, it was interesting the numbers with Jack Sinclair, because usually we'd think when he plays in the middle, he actually goes worse. But Fantasy Freako did a scoring breakdown for Jack Sinclair this year based on where he plays. So when he plays more in defense, he averages 96. But when he's got more time in the midfield, he actually averages 102. So there's really not much in it. But that was AFL fantasy. So Supercoach wise is very similar. So yeah, I just found that an interesting stat there, Paddo.
Well, I feel like he scores better when he's playing defense.
So yeah. Anyway, that's what everyone was tweeting about. Like, oh, we actually all thought the opposite. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, you might see Jack Sinclair still play in the middle a bit more, but to be honest, it's not that bad.
Yeah, either way, I think he's a nice POD. 9% ownership, which is really nice. He's not cheap, but he's one of those guys that have a really good ceiling. And I believe all of his games are at Marvel for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's why we really like this pick.
But you won't hear anyone talking about it because it's not Richmond, Essendon, Collingwood, or Carlton.
I think we spoke about it like halfway through the year when we said he's got a ridiculous run home with Marvel and he loves playing at Marvel.
Yeah, but no one will talk about the draw because they're going to finish 14th and St Kilda are irrelevant.
Yeah, fair enough. Jordan Clark, 552K, 106 average, 9% owned. He's got a 110.3 round average, Paddo.
He does. Killing it. And has the Wiggles this week. So I'd like to think he'll bounce back again this week, I should say. Yeah, his
Can
scoring has gone up since Luke Ryan remembered he was a fake primo. So thanks,
I?
Lordy, for talking that into existence. Yeah, so Jordan Clark has been the beneficiary and is actually scoring better than Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. Suck a fat one. James Sicily, 611K, 105 average, 9% owned, Paddo. I would have thought that him being sent up forward a lot more would be bad for his scoring, but he's actually clunking marks, getting free scoring goals, so it's actually helping him.
No, he'll go forward in the close games. And he generally does clunk a mark and kick a goal in those games as an extra forward, which will give him the scaling of kicking clutch goals, as well as his normal
Yeah.
points for intercepts and kickouts and all that sort of stuff. So this is a really nice option. Obviously, luxury trade territory here. The run home is actually really nice as well. Adelaide and GWS in his next two. Carlton isn't a great matchup, although they have been conceding kind of high scores to defenders this year, and then he finishes with Richmond and North Melbourne, which is obviously very tantalizing. He only scored 147 against Richmond last time. That's all.
Yep. We'll move on to midfielders, Paddo. We are fucking running through this. So Patrick Cripps, 615K, 111 average, 9% owned, and he's got that fat as 123.5 round average. He sniffs that beautiful Charlie, and that sounds so weird. And he has his eyes set on that medal. I should specify.
You should. Yes,
Not
yes.
Kerno.
Or Charlie Sheen.
Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, yeah, he knows that the umpires are going to get him over the line like they fucking did against North Melbourne. That was a fucking joke, by the way. That last quarter was fucking filth. I would feel so cheated if I was a North Melbourne fan, honestly. All 12 of them. Anyway.
Don't get me started on the umpires, Dano.
Kanga, Kanga, Kanga. Roo, roo, roo.
Boo, boo, boo. Anyway, yeah, Cripper's chasing Charlie. Nice run home as well for Adelaide this week. Collingwood, who don't tag. Hawthorn's like kind of a neutral matchup, but then the Eagles and St Kilda, who both have absolutely nothing to play for.
Yep.
Yep. I get the sense that Cripps could average 125 for the rest of the year. And yeah, it's going to hurt not owning him. And if he is in your opponent, like league opponent's team, he'll win you a matchup potentially.
Yep. Andy Brayshaw, 559K, 105 average, 4% owned, and he's got a 122.3 round average, Paddo. He's kind of like the forgotten dude. And it wasn't too long ago that he was, didn't he win like the AFLPA MVP or something like that? Or AFLCA MVP not too long ago?
Yeah, he won something. I think it was last year.
No,
But yeah,
I'm
I'm
pretty sure.
shocked at how
Yeah.
little amount of teams he is in. On a bit of a tear lately. Got the Eagles this week as well, which should be nice and juicy for him. He's not getting tagged either because teams are going to go to Sarong because he's the guy that they're tagging. So Brayshaw will just sort of keep doing his thing, and Hayden Young's kind of out of there, playing a little bit forward, a little bit of mid. So it's Brayshaw and Sarong's midfield.
Yep. I'm just going to throw this out there because I was meant to trade this man in. Adam Treloar Paddo got a 148 and he's 571K. Fuck this. Instead, I went with fucking Butters. Anyway, Hugh McCluggage.
Sydney this week, so that's why he didn't make the run sheet.
Contested possessions. Hugh McCluggage, 493K, 99 average, 3% owned. Getting more of those juicy CBAs. And to be honest, when he's running through the middle, like on the rebounds, holy fuck.
Those two goals he kicked in a row were unbelievable. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so he's on a little bit of a tear at the moment, but how long can he keep it up for, Paddo?
I think he'll be fine. His CBAs have actually gone up the last couple of weeks, and it's coincided with some nice scoring. I think they realise that they probably need him in amongst that midfield group, especially when Lachie Neale is getting tagged. He's got the Suns this week, who averages 102 against, and they do not tag at all because Dimmer doesn't believe in it. Yeah, Brisbane are on a tear. They're gunning for top four, ideally top two, to get those home double chance. So, I think McCluggage is a great cheaper option if you can't get to any of the top guys.
Yep, fair. Rucks, Paddo. So we've got two POD rucks here. So the first one, Sean Darcy, 503K, 98 average in 0.3% of teams, Paddo. And tell us why people should consider Sean Darcy, because this looks juicy.
So it's obviously a huge risk because he's had a couple of injury concerns for the year. He's coming off a 112 after his concussion week off against the D's. Obviously, the D's aren't running a ruckman. We don't worry about that because we won't get that score. So he's got the Eagles this week, which is obviously really, really good. He's got a tough matchup after that against the Bombers at the MCG. That is tough. But he probably has the four easiest ruck matchups in the whole league and one of the toughest, which is that Essendon game. So he's got Eagles, Essendon. Then he's got Geelong, who have a defender playing in the ruck, not getting hit outs. Then the Giants, who are conceding monster scores to ruckman. And Port Adelaide, who are also conceding monster scores to ruckman. So if Sean Darcy plays these five games, he could average 120 for those. He's one of those guys that have a really big ceiling as well. Like, he's had a couple of 200 games in his career, hasn't he?
I know he's had a couple of 180 games.
I don't know where
might have had a 200, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where you can see his highest score ever.
Oh, you can see it. So if you go into his profile and you just look at his opponents, it'll be his highest score ever there against one of the opponents.
So 193 versus Carlton, 183 against Hawthorn, 178 against North, and yeah, a few 150s. So yeah, hasn't reached a 200 plateau, but can you rule it out happening this year, Dana?
He's one of those guys that I remember the year that he broke out. He went on a tear of like six games and it was like 190, 170, 180. And he ended up having one of the highest three round averages in the history of Supercoach.
Yeah. So it's one of those balls to the wall things. It's a risk and it could not come off like the Deconing or Nankervis trades, but it can also make you look like a genius. And if you're looking for a nice ruck matchup for your league finals, maybe you wait until after the Essendon game. His price will go up a little bit, but if you've got a Grundy, maybe you go Grundy to Darcy with a luxury trade.
Don't mind it.
If I was in your shoes, Dano, and if in 2 weeks you haven't got any primo injuries, I'd be looking at Sean Darcy.
Yeah, it would be something to consider.
Yeah.
Next one, Lloyd Meek, 554K, 104 average, 4% owned. So he's also got a good ruck run home, Paddo. Especially if they've got those tight games. So he's got a five-round average of 108 too. Not too bad, but I'm leaning still more towards Sean Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy is certainly the better option because he's 50K cheaper and he's got a higher ceiling. But if you want a little bit of a safer pick for someone that's played a lot more games, Lloyd Meek isn't a horrible plan B. Bit of a Freo flavour in the ruck line, Dano, with the next Freo backup and a current not back up. But anyway, Adelaide this week, which is a nice ish matchup. Then the Giants, we spoke about them before. Carlton, I mean, we'll see. Pitnett's not a horrible ruckman at all. So that might be a bit of a neutral matchup. But then Richmond and North Melbourne in his last two. We'll see if Nankervis even plays that game. So, yeah, Meek's not a horrible option. Hawthorn are on a tear. They're winning a lot of close games, which means lots of nice scaling for their players.
Yeah. Move on to the forward line now, Paddo. And the first one is Isaac Rankin's back from suspension. He's 569K, 102 average, 4% owned. So he is one of the best scoring forwards this year, and he's only in 4% of teams.
He's the fourth highest averaging forward in the whole of Supercoach.
Yeah.
Yep, five-round average of 116, which is obviously pre-suspension. We know what Rankin's done this year. A lot of people would have had to trade him out because of his three-week suspension, but if you got the trades, either bring him back in or bring him in for the first time and enjoy the last 5 weeks of him.
Yeah, that suspension went really quick too. I felt like he had another week or so to go. So shit.
It's just because we've had all this carnage and we're just thinking about other shit.
Yeah, that's true. One of the ones that we've floated who keeps stagnating around the same price, Paddo, is Jeremy Cameron. So 413K, 83 average, 8% owned. Now, we said weeks ago to eye Jeremy Cameron off because he's got one of the best run homes for a forward. And he's got North Melbourne this week. He's got West Coast in the final round. This is F7 category, like F6, F7 looping with fucking Charlie Curnow or Shea Bolton for me.
Yeah, that's a great shout. If you can get a couple of really good key forwards and are able to loophole, you either pick the best matchup if you can't loophole, or you loophole whoever plays first and decide whether you want to take it or not. But even as an F6, I think this is fine if you don't have the cash to get anyone better. He'll start off this week with a nice score, I think. He had 140 against North Melbourne earlier in this year. Obviously, Mackay is not there anymore. He'll probably give Combin another bath. And then Adelaide, who are kind of shaky, even though they're coming off a good win, a bit shaky at times. Freo's a tough matchup, but it is over there at Optus. So that's probably the tough one. But his last two, St Kilda and West Coast. So if you can loophole in for that Freo game, I think the other four matchups are really nice. Usually does come home pretty strong as well, Jeremy Cameron. And they are one of about 86 teams fighting for the top eight this year.
Yep. So there's another guy that I brought up in our group chat, Paddo, because I was trying to work out why he was scoring pretty decent. And that's Ben Keys, 490K, 78 average, 1% owned. And before the round just gone, I was asking our mate Jacob, like, is there a role change or anything? And he goes, nah, he's just playing good.
There's no role change.
Yeah, and it's just he had this spike in score, and then he had that fucking mammoth game, and I'm like, holy shit. So it's just this big purple patch that he's on. I feel like in Supercoach, too many people worry about the past and like the never again list. But I feel like if you do the never again list, everyone's going to end up on there at some stage, and then you're not going to pick anyone. So I feel like this is going to be, you've got someone else listed as a fun one. I think Ben Keys might be a fun one to own.
He could be. I think the only flag here is that he scored 93, 123, and 158 in the three games that Rankin didn't play, and I think that is relevant information. Because it makes him a bit more of a target when he's playing up forward, because his scoring before that was a little bit down. But with how well Keys is playing and with Dawson out for at least this week, Rankin could get a bit more midfield time and Keys will stay forward, getting 20-odd touches, kicking his, you know, couple of goals a game and still scoring well. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Fair. Now, this is the one that you reckon will be a fun own, and that's Jack Ginnivan. He's 391K, 72 average, 3% owned, and he has a very, very, very juicy run home. And we talk about, like, the general forwards for Hawthorn having really juicy run home. We all focused on Dylan Moore, but no one's actually really focused on Jack Ginnivan. Then he had that absolute mammoth game against his old side. Is it a spike game just to do a massive middle finger to the Pies? I don't know. But he could be a good one to monitor for the next week or two.
Yeah, I mean, it is his only 100 for the year so far. On the flip side, his first game against Collingwood this year was a 60. So it was a little bit of a flash in the pan, but he's had 90 and 137 in his last two. Hawks are up and about. I think Ginnivan's really settled into that team, is really confident, and confidence can play a really big part, especially for players like Ginnivan, who I feel like get off on the confidence. So the run home, as you said, is really, really nice, starting with Adelaide this week. The Giants and Carlton back-to-back are kind of tougher games, but the way the Hawks are playing, I can see them pushing those two teams, and then Richmond and North Melbourne to finish off the year. Hawthorn are going to make the 8th, Dano. I'm confident of that. And I think I said it a month ago. And I even shouted out the odds and urged everyone to, of course, gamble responsibly. but yeah, if they're going to make finals, I think Ginnivan, Sicily, Will Day, those sort of guys are going to have a really big say in it. And it could be a really fun ride home.
Yeah, no, fair enough. The last one we got up forward as a POD is Rory Lobb at 401k. So he's averaging 0.2% of teams own him. And then he's gone to defense and he's got a 126 paddo.
I mean, he's been playing defense for 5 weeks now.
But he looks a bit more comfortable.
He does. So he had a 68 and a 64 against Port Adelaide and Carlton. They're big forward lines and they are tough matchups no matter who you are. So let's kind of ignore that one. But his other three good or better scores in defense were 108 against Freo, 96 against North, and 126 against Geelong. I can see that being the norm. And if you can pinch him at 400K like he is this week in the forward line, I think it's really good. Does have Sydney this week, which sounds like a bad matchup, but it's actually not a bad matchup for these sort of key defenders. So just one to keep an eye on. The asterisk here is that I think Lockie Jones is back this week. So remains to be seen whether he can score as well with him in the team. But I feel like they can both do all right.
Liam Jones?
I do mean Liam Jones. Lockie Jones hasn't. Was he an ex-player?
No, he plays for Port.
That's right. The mullet man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, they're all of our suggestions and people to keep an eye on. So what we'll do is we'll go to question time now, Paddo. And earlier today, it didn't look like we were going to get any on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, we've had a little flurry. So let me just go to that right now. So we've got three on Facebook, considering you only posted it 11 hours ago. So, yeah, was not expecting much at all. So the first one is from Lloydie. He says, I think he meant to say cop, but he said, cope a donut for Nank for 1 week or use my last trade to go back to Gorn. Ooh.
That's a tough one. And it's hard to say without knowing what other cover he has. But if you've got like a Humphreys and Dowling or Manor type in your other lines, I'd almost do it.
Yeah.
I can see Gorn storming home because Melbourne are in that pack that need to win games, and he's going to be the one that wins them games.
Yeah, fair. Ryan, one of our very OG listeners, he's come back and said, boys, are we excited about the Doggies again? Oh, he's a fucking Western Bulldog supporter. If they make September, are they and the Hawks the biggest dangers to the top four sides? I don't think both of them will be the biggest danger to the top four sides. I think Hawks maybe, but I don't think the Bulldogs will be.
I mean, I think there's 13 teams that are dangerous to the top eight sides or top four sides. And that goes all the way to Collingwood. We know how good they can be. They'll probably miss finals. The Suns, if you play them on the Gold Coast, they're unbeatable. the Hawks are, you know, all of a sudden on a roll and looking really good. Melbourne, we know how good they can be. They're probably fucked because Clayton Oliver is off the gear. the Doggies have a percentage of 118, which is really, really good. That's actually the second best percentage in the whole league behind only Sydney, which is kind of crazy. But they're just prone to, like, just shocking performances. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they beat Sydney this week and then I don't know who they have next week, but if, like, they could lose to St Kilda. That's what the Dogs do. And maybe they are a wild card. They won a premiership from seventh before. They've got the best player in the comp. Rory Lobb is apparently a defender now. Yeah, I mean, you can't rule it out.
Fair.
I like the Hawks, though.
Yeah, I know you do. Liam has said, hey guys, bit of a long one. So he's got Dowling at F6 while Philippou is out. If Philippou is back this week, he plans to trade Oliver to Stewart. So is it viable to keep Philippou at F6, meaning he would then be able to trade out Dowling for a defender or mid or forward as bench cover for the rest of the year? He also has three trades doing the Stewart trade with 128K. Jesus, that was a mouthful.
I think it could be worth holding on to Philippou. Dowling's been fine. He's actually been really good, and I think that's fine enough cover. Stewart is an obvious upgrade from Oliver. I mean, that midfield role, he's looking to really... He looked like he's really warming to it. Philippou is listed as 1 to 2 weeks. If he misses Essendon and Brisbane, they're actually two kind of harder matchups that he misses, and then he gets Richmond, Geelong, Carlton. I don't mind that. Richmond and Geelong are conceding big scores to midfielders, even though Richmond have improved that recently. I'd be doing your Clary to Stewart trade for sure. And I'd hold on to Dowling. He plays another early game this week, doesn't he? No, he plays the last game of the round.
Yeah.
I'd still be holding.
If you're in the same boat as me, Liam, with the trades, I'd be waiting for Dowling and that to fatten up.
There's still
got
a negative break even, which is crazy.
I know. So good.
Such a waste.
This is
such a waste.
Let's have a look at... Oh, fuck. What's happened here? Oh, fuck. Okay, never mind. I was looking at something on X. I didn't realize what people were reacting to. Anyway, we've actually had no responses on X, Paddo.
Yeah, no one on there has any trades.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say is the Supercoach Hub posted a tweet saying, round 20 discussion. Join Scobie and Verns tomorrow tonight at 9:05 live. So I said, I will be joining yesterday today rather than tomorrow tonight. Fuck. Anyway, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So, Paddo, we are going to start this shit off and we're going to start it off in style. Why? Because it's a big Friday night. Carlton versus Port Adelaide.
I've actually got some really, really great options for people this week.
Yeah, sweet.
Like really, really good. None of them playing this game, though.
Well, Zachy Butters is already averaging below 100 for me, so I'm really scarred already.
Yeah, and they're back tagging with, what's his face?
Hewitt?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. So, if you got Patrick Cripps in this one, VC that shit.
Well, even then, like, that just screams Will and Drew to me.
The only player that I can see that can tag Patrick Cripps is Tom Green. Or Connor Nash, actually, now I think about it.
So Cripps had 103 against Port Adelaide earlier in the year.
Yeah, so he still played decent. He just probably butchered it because he can do that. Like, I think he got like 40 or something disposals against Geelong and went sub 100 because...
I think there's like surefire things later in the round.
Yep, okay. Don't like Sam Walsh, don't like any of the Port boys?
No.
No? Okay. We will move on because you're boring. Saturday, North Melbourne versus Geelong at Blundstone in Hobart. Actually, if you're an LDU owner, I don't mind a VC on him. Sheasel, maybe, but I feel like this is going to be the round that LDU goes like a 140.
So Harry Sheasel in round 5 this year had 159 against the Cats, and that was at GMHB ABCD Stadium.
But was that when he was playing halfback flank?
Don't know.
Yes. Round 5, yes.
I still feel like LDU is a tag option there with Blitz Abs.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're saying no to Zach Fisher.
I actually don't mind Cherry as a VC option in this one as well.
Yeah, fair. What about your Tommy Stewart in that midfield role?
I don't hate it. Is the ball going to spend enough in their back line though? Because he's getting his points in centre bounce and then floating back as a spare defender.
Yeah, okay. Well, North aren't playing shit. They got fucked over by Carlton and the umpires last week.
And they're not too bad in Tassie either.
So, I don't mind Tom Stewart.
What about Jeremy Cameron?
Ooh, there's one. There's one that will either go 40 or 160.
Yeah, nothing in between.
Yeah, no matter what, it adds up to 200. Let's move on to the next game because I just want to talk about this. This is going to set the tone for the rest of the year. Gold Coast at People First Stadium versus the Brisbane Lions. Will the home run finally come to an end, Paddo?
I think it will, but my VC is in this game.
Who is your VC?
Dane Zorko.
Why is it Dane Zorko?
So he had 160-odd against the Suns last time round, 160, exactly. Earlier this year, Gold Coast don't tag. The ball will spend a lot of time
rebounding. In that
back yeah. line, rebounding, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a really nice VC option.
I have found that Dane Zorko gets those mammoth scores at the Gabba, though.
Yeah, I mean, he had 129 at the Gabba, sorry.
That, like, prime example. So, yeah, I don't mind that call. The fact that Dimmer doesn't like to tag, I'd be looking at a Lachie Neale. Lachie Neale will be...
Yeah, no, Lachie Neale's not in my team, but if I had him, he'd be my VC.
Yeah, like, man's going to bounce back. He's going to kick two goals, get, like, 30-something disposals, get three Brownlow votes to make up for his shit performance last week.
Yeah, agreed. They're the two for me.
Yeah, I agree. Will Matt Rowell ever bounce back? Or is he carrying an injury? What the fuck's going on?
Anyway. So you mentioned people having this never again list. He'll be on a lot of people's never again list, and I feel like he has a bounce back year next year.
Yeah, remember when we were talking about whether this year was going to be his breakout year and we saw it at the start, we're like, oh, fuck, here it comes. And I thought it was going to be next year.
I didn't buy it for this year. I never owned him.
Yeah, I never owned him either. I was considering starting him, but I never did. And my thought behind it was next year will be the year because he's always seemed to have some sort of injury and he'll finally get a clean run at it. And it won't surprise me if Dimmer's been making him play through a niggle. He just doesn't look like what he looked like at the start of the year.
Yeah, he's injured for sure.
Yeah. So it's keeping his price down. Yeah, so I don't mind that. Probably not good. Needs to heal. You don't like Sam Flanders for the VC? Ton run, keep
no.
going?
No, because okay. You need a ceiling score for your VC for me. That's how I play.
Yep, fair enough.
Try and nail a 140 plus.
Well, this one could be a 140 plus. St Kilda versus Essendon with Jack Sinclair at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, I've got a better one for you.
Is it Zach Merritt?
No.
Who?
Jordan Ridley.
Ooh, why Jordan Ridley?
Because the Saints concede massive scores to defenders.
Ooh, don't mind that. So
it's at Marvel Stadium, so it's indoors.
So I need to point this out. So this game and the Gold Coast and Brisbane game are played at the exact same time.
Yeah, so you've got to choose. Isn't that crazy? Two games at 4:35, like the prime time, 4:35. I want to say, so the Saints obviously beat the Eagles by about 70 points on the weekend. Jaden Hunt got 138 Supercoach. Brady Hoff got 104 Supercoach points. And Tom Barras, yes, Lloydy, that Tom Barras, scored 102 in a 70-point loss. So if you think Essendon are going to win this game, Ridley could go 160.
Yeah, right.
I might be talking myself into VCing him.
It's Lachie Neale versus Jordan Ridley right now for me. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Let's move. I don't mind Merritt as well. They did still tag on the weekend. Was it Zach Jones that tagged? I can't remember.
He did get like a 108 or something, so he wasn't too bad.
He was playing midfield. Oh, no, they wouldn't have bothered tagging anyone from the Eagles. Merritt did have 131 against the Saints earlier in the year, but I feel like Ross Lyon does throw a tag at him.
Yep, fair. We'll move on. So 7:30 p.m. On that Saturday, Melbourne versus the Giants. I'm not going to it because every game I've gone to this year, the Giants have lost. So if I keep away from them, they'll keep their winning streak alive. That's my thought process, Paddo.
Yeah.
I think it's sensible.
Yep.
pay for a membership, don't use it. So yeah, with this one, if Max Gawn's back, definitely he'll slap it around silly. Other than that, I don't like anyone else. I just don't trust Giants players at the moment, like for a VC or a C.
Yeah, I must say that I think Gawn, if he plays a full game, will have a big score, but I just think it's too risky coming off the injury that he had to trust him with the captaincy. I think he's a VC option.
Yep, agreed.
I just want to highlight that because the risk of re-injury for the type of injury that he had and the role that he plays is pretty high. So just want to put that out there. I don't hate Tom Green as an option, Dano.
He butchers it too much.
Far too big for Toby Bedford, who is his teammate. Sorry, he used to play for Melbourne.
You kid.
Fuck. Anyway, moving on. It's getting late.
Do you reckon Toby Bedford even tries to tag Clary?
Why would you bother?
That's what I mean. Clary tags himself right now.
You sit on the bench with a bag of flour and he won't even go on the field.
Fuck. Moving on, 8:10 p.m. We've got the Western Derby. It's Fremantle versus the West Coast Eagles at Optus, obviously. Caleb Sarong, but Sir Wright as captain.
Yeah, so that is my fallback captain if Ridley doesn't do well. So since the takeover, Eagles haven't tagged. They've conceded a couple of really big scores to opposition midfielders, including 140 against Jack Sinclair and 118 against Jack Steele, which are both very high percentage, very much higher than their average for the season. So I can see that continuing on the weekend. So Sarong is a really nice option. I think he'd almost just close his eyes and get 125 against them. And if he could even go higher.
Yeah, I'm not really liking anyone else other than Jordan Clark.
Sean Darcy.
Oh. Moving on to Sunday. So Sunday, here's one. And this is where I'd be worried. And I never thought I'd say this. Collingwood versus Richmond. I would not be confident after what happened last week with Butters in putting the C on Dacos.
Yeah, it's a bit frustrating. I was enjoying Richmond being a really reliable captain opponent for my primos. I don't think you can touch Dacos for the captaincy with the fact that Richmond are tagging every week now. If Mason Cox isn't back, I think Darcy Cameron could have a monster game.
Yeah, fair. But not captain worthy. Sorry. Too unreliable.
Against Samson Ryan.
Too unreliable.
Hasn't been for the last 5 weeks.
Anyway, moving on. Sydney versus Western Bulldogs. First versus ninth. SCG. Labonte safety net?
Yeah, I think it's relatively safe.
I'm going to say Adam Treloar.
You would.
Fuck yeah.
My two ruckmen against each other, which is always frustrating. I hope for lots of goals and lots of centre bounces, lots of stoppages. But SCG Grundy.
So, I'm not sure on this game. Swans look out of it. They're on the decline.
They'll be fine.
They're on the decline. It won't surprise me if Western Bulldogs beat them. And you know what? It's going to piss me off because I want Sydney Swans to go on an undefeated run from here on out to help out the Giants, but fuck them. They're going to fucking lose these games to these other teams. Anyway, moving on. No one else?
No.
Uh-oh. Last game of the round at 4:10 p.m. Adelaide Oval, Adelaide versus Hawthorn. Anyone in this game, Paddo, that you would chuck the C on?
Probably not, but anyone could have a big game in this game. You think your Rankins, Laird, Moore, Ginnivan, Lloyd Meek. Like, yeah, I think guys could go big. Sicily is another one. You can't trust a captain. I don't know if you can trust a captain any three of these games on Sunday.
No, I don't think you can, to be honest.
I think Saturday could be massive for people.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. Just check out our shit. I have been frequently asked if we're getting a website. The answer is no, not at this stage. Just it's enough time in the week to just record a podcast, isn't it, Paddo, than fucking running a website and writing articles and shit. Yep. We're not like the draft doctors doing their draft shit, and we're not like bloody Dr. Supercoach doing all that stuff. We don't get paid for this. We're actually out of pocket. We only do it for the love of it, and we do it because people keep asking us to. And yeah, my missus will kill me if I do anything more than a podcast for this. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, same. There are plenty of great resources out there if you're after a Supercoach dedicated website with articles and all that. So you mentioned Draft Doctors. You got Dr. Supercoach as well. Honeyball is great as well. Supercoach Hub is sort of a riser here. The coaches panel are also long time guys, and they're a bit more fantasy, but they do Supercoach as well. So there are a breadth of fantastic resources out there if you're looking for that sort of content. We're not as good as those guys. We don't claim to be. We won't pretend to be. We won't try to be.
We just keep it real.
We keep it real. We have a chin wag. We fucking swear and we have fun.
Yeah. We also get rated poorly, Pato, because of our swearing. I've noticed.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah, fuck 'em. But yeah, in the future, we might, we could end up expanding. I don't know. If we wanted to, in some way, we could get people writing articles for us. But at this stage, no. Sorry to end on a downer there, but from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing.
Fuck off.